Pilot, can you get us down any faster?
Say, look, if you think you...
The steel glass window in front of him exploded into shrapnel as the pinnace took another direct hit. 100 steel glass shards slammed into and through the pilot in a second, killing him instantly. Random pulled the nearest steel locker off the wall and threw it at the gaping hole. The locker plugged up the gap fairly neatly, with a little seepage around the edges, and the air pressure stabilized again. The engines whined as the pinnace dropped like a stone. Random hit the pilot's strap releases and hauled the dead body out of his seat. He fastened himself into the command chair and studied the controls. The altitude indicator showed they were a lot nearer the surface than he'd thought, but it was still a hell of a long way down. With no hand at the helm, sky and cloud and snatches of surface swept back and forth before the unblocked part of the steel glass window. Random cleaned the controls of blood with his sleeve as best he could, being very careful not to activate anything till he was sure what it did. He looked across at the sergeant in the co-pilot seat, but even as he started to ask for help, he realized that Miller was slumped forward, unmoving. Random reached out and pulled the sergeant back in his chair. Miller's head rolled back, and he stared sightlessly up at the cabin ceiling, a large steel glass fragment protruding from one bloody eye socket. Ruby moved into view beside Random.
Dead as a doornail. Our luck is running true to form.
Haul his ass out of that chair and take his place. I'm going to need your help to land this thing.
Ruby unfastened the straps, pulled Miller's body out of the chair, and dumped it on the deck. She took over the co-pilot seat, studied the blood-smeared controls dubiously, and then looked over at Random.
You have flown one of these things before, haven't you, Jack?
Do you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Oh, shit.
That about sums it up. Not only is this a totally new model to me, but those two disruptor hits did a lot of damage to our steering mechanisms. And if I'm interpreting these controls correctly, we have associational damage too. Engine power is dropping, one of the main air tanks is ruptured, and the landing computers are shot to shit. Apart from that, putting this unfamiliar craft down in unknown territory in a never-ending storm should be a piece of cake. Any questions?
Oh, great. Just great. Where did the sergeant say those parachutes were?
Forget it. There's enough lightning out there to turn you into a cinder before you can even pull the ripcord. The ionization on the hull's attracting it.
Escape pods? Gravity sleds?
In a ship this size? Wait a minute. Oh, shit.
I really didn't like the way you said that. What is it now?
Half the controls just shut down. Apparently the shrapnel from the window has riddled most of the main computers. Enough of them have fallen offline that the main systems weren't with them. We are now running entirely on backup systems. And if I try and cut in the manual controls, this heap of shit will drop like a rock. It's only the few remaining automatic systems that are keeping the engines going.
Oh, shit!
Exactly. We are now plummeting towards the surface of an unknown planet in a crippled ship we can't control, with all the glide factor of half a brick with a nail in it. I think oh shit covers the situation quite accurately. Feel free to chime in if you have any bright ideas that don't include divine intervention.
So what are we going to do? Come on, Random. You're the expert strategist. Think of a way out of this mess.
Strategies require options, and we don't seem to have any. We're just going to have to trust what's left of the onboard computers to manage a landing. Or at least crash us as gently as possible.
We can't be that helpless. We're maze people, damn it, superhumans!
Unfortunately, we're still only mortal, and none of our abilities are any use in this situation. But we're tough. We can take a lot of punishment. We should be able to survive a crash that would kill anyone else. Hell, when I attacked the Pestel Towers back on Golgotha, they shot my gravity sled out of the sky and then set fire to me, and I still walked away from it.
Ruby stared at the useless controls before her.
There has to be something we can do, something to improve our chances.
There is. Give me a hand.
Jack hit his strap releases and surged up out of his chair, his face alight with inspiration. He staggered up the slanted central aisle of the shaking ship and started pulling loose all the remaining chairs and lockers. Ruby hurried after him, new hope in her heart.
What is it? What have you thought of, Jack?
A cocoon. We're going to build a barricade around ourselves, layers of steel and padding, and hope it absorbs most of the impact on landing. Give me a hand here. We've only got a few minutes left before we hit.
Ruby joined him, tearing attachments loose with her superhuman strength. Everything that wasn't an actual part of the deck or the hull was torn away and ended up as one of the many layers of barricade at the front of the cabin. Finally, they ran out of junk and time and retreated into the heart of the cocoon. They'd left just enough room for the two of them to force their way in, and they sat together in each other's arms, wedged together so tightly they could barely breathe. The red emergency lighting had washed everything the color of blood. The storm still raged around them, slapping the falling craft this way and that.
I never thought I'd die like this. Just sitting helplessly waiting for the end. I'm a fighter, a warrior. I deserved a warrior's death. A chance to die fighting on my feet and take some of my enemies with me. Not like this.
We're not dead yet. I've been close to death more times than I can remember, and I'm still here. Never give up hope, Ruby. It's all that keeps us going.
I've always loved you, Jack. Always will. I might not be very good at showing it, but...
It's all right. I know. Love you too, Ruby. If we get out of this alive, you want to take another stab at living together?
Hell no. I don't love you that much.
Well, at least they stopped shooting. Either the storm's thrown us out of range, or they must think we're all dead.
Let us be thankful for small mercies. You know, that attack was no accident. Someone down there knew we were coming.
Yes. We'll have to ask a few pointed questions about that later. Even if it's only through a spirit board.
I won't die. I'm not ready to die yet. There's still so much I meant to do.
I suppose everyone feels like that. I'm more or less content. I've achieved more than I ever expected to. And I got to meet you, eventually. I'll settle for that.
You always were willing to settle for too little, Jack.
And then the breath was slammed from their bodies as the landing computers cut in and hauled back on the engines. The pinnace's speed fell drastically, the engines shrieking and complaining all the way. The hull groaned and flexed, and lights flickered on and off. The whole ship shuddered violently, the scream of the straining engines louder than the storms outside. Brandon and Ruby held each other tightly, their heads buried in each other's shoulders. And then the pinnace struck a towering black mountain, a glancing blow in passing, and the whole right side of the craft bulged inwards. The improvised barricade shook viciously, but held together. The pinnace struck one obstacle after another on its way down, its heavily armored hull absorbing most of the blows, but Brandon and Ruby took a lot of the impact too. But they were helpless to do anything about it. Fires broke out somewhere in the back of the pinnace, and smoke drifted down the cabin, thick and black and choking. And then the ship finally hit the ground. The pinnace skidded across an unyielding, unforgiving surface in a sea of sparks and flames, slowing only gradually, until finally the nose slammed into a dark outcropping, and the pinnace came to a final halt, at the end of its journey at last. The engines cut off automatically, and for long moments, there was only the roaring of the gale force winds as they blew out the flames and rocked the open wreck of the pinnace back and forth. Jack Random came slowly back to consciousness. His initial awareness was of being rocked pleasantly to and fro, like an infant in its cradle. It felt wonderfully comfortable, and all he wanted was to lie there and enjoy it. But part of him knew he couldn't do that. Reluctantly, he opened his eyes and was greeted with the hellish red glow of the emergency lighting. At least the damn alarm sirens had shut up at last. His thoughts were slow and sluggish. He didn't know how long he'd been unconscious, but he could hear fires burning at the back of the craft. Not a good sign. He could taste blood in his mouth. He tried to move his arms, and immediately, sharp pains erupted in his sides. Several careful movements later, he was satisfied he'd broken most of his ribs, and there was enough blood seeping into his mouth with his breathing that he had to keep spitting it out. He gritted his teeth against the pain and tried to stand up. He barely moved an inch. The crash had compacted the barricades around him and Ruby so tightly that there was no room to move. Ruby's eyes were still closed, and she was breathing harshly through her mouth.
Ruby, wake up, damn it! I can't do this on my own.
Stop shouting. I've got a headache.
She lifted her head slowly, and Random winced as her face came into the light. There was a deep and nasty wound on her forehead. Blood was streaming down the side of her face. But when she opened her eyes, they were clear and rational.
Congratulations. We survived the landing. Unfortunately, the ship is on fire, and I've no way of knowing what condition the engines are in. But I suspect the worst. We have to get out of here, fast.
So what's stopping us?
We're stuck in our cocoon, and I can't seem to find any leverage I can use to free us. Any suggestions?
Our feet are still on the deck. If we can't push back, push up!
They braced themselves against each other, refusing to cry out at the pain of their various injuries for fear of upsetting the other, and forced themselves to their feet. After that, it was a simple but painful task to free themselves from the cocoon that had saved their lives. Leaning heavily on each other, they headed for the single airlock. Neither of them were particularly steady on their feet,
Jack's vision wasn't as clear as he would have liked, and his head ached abominably. He just hoped he didn't have a concussion. Ruby was favoring one leg, and one of her eyeballs was red with leaking blood inside. Really not a good sign. Jack decided he'd think about all that later. First, get out of the damned pinnace. He hit the airlock controls, and nothing happened. He hit them again, as hard as he could in his weakened state, but the airlock inner door remained stubbornly shut.
What's taking so long? I want to lie down and get some sleep.
In a while. Right now, try talking to this door. It won't listen to me.
Airlocks linked to the main controls, and they were wrecked in the landing.
Can we repair them?
Ruby frowned as she tried to concentrate.
Maybe. If you're good at jigsaws. Anyway, don't be in such a hurry to leave. From what I remember of the files, surface conditions are atrocious. It's cold, there's high background radiation, and the wind never stops blowing. Let's just sit here and wait to be rescued. I'm tired.
I'm afraid we can't do that, Ruby. There's a fire in the hold, and it's coming this way. And the engines...
Could blow at any time, yeah, I remember. Damn. You're a real ray of sunshine, aren't you? All right. There should be manual controls for the door top and bottom. Toss you for which of us has to bend over.
In the end, Jack nearly passed out from the pain when he tried to bend down. So Ruby had to do it. They cracked the inner airlock door open inch by inch, stumbled into the lock, and hit the explosive bolts that blew the outer door open. Outside, it was cold and dark, and the gusting wind was ferociously loud. Random put his head out cautiously and winced as the bitter wind hit his exposed face. It felt like razors. He pulled his head quickly back in.
Ugh, nasty.
Told you. Makes Technos 3 look like Shangri-La. The locals wear protective armor when they have to go out, which is as rarely as they can get away with.
We don't have the time to improvise any armor. We need to put some distance and protection between us and the ship in case she blows. I'm pretty sure I saw a cliff face within walking distance, and what might have been caves.
You'd better be right about this, Random. Okay, you lead, I'll follow.
They lurched out into the freezing dark, and the howling wind hit them hard, sending them staggering sideways for a moment before they could get their footing. The cold cut into them like a knife, and there was something abrasive in the wind that seared their exposed skin raw. They huddled together and staggered away from their crashed ship towards the great dark cliff. Their progress was maddeningly slow. Neither could move very quickly or freely because of their injuries. Strength and determination could only do so much in the face of broken bones and crippling pain. They stumbled on, supporting each other. It wasn't fully dark yet, only just twilight, but there was only a small moon dropping a sickly blue light over the nightmare landscape. They were in a valley, surrounded on all sides by huge, eerie shapes that rose up unexpectedly out of the gloom. There was no sign of anything living. The wind howled like something dying, rising and falling away, but never still. The cliff face didn't seem to be getting any closer.
What are our chances of rescue?
Bad. The storm and the attack threw us way off course. The last location I had put us about 2 miles from the main city, Vidar. No other settlements in walking distance. And after a crash like ours, they might not bother with any rescue. No one moves on the surface here unless they absolutely have to. They wouldn't come this far just to identify a few bodies. Even if two of them were rather famous.
So, first we get to the cliff face. Then we climb the cliff face till we find a cave. Then we sit and heal. And then we get to walk 2 miles through this shit to the nearest civilization. Wonderful. Assuming we get through all this alive, I am going to find whoever's idea it was to send us here, rip out his spleen and make him eat it, one bite at a time.
You must be feeling better if you could talk that much. Let's speed up the pace.
You're a bastard, Jack! Have I told you that recently?
Shut up and keep walking!
Dark, towering figures loomed about them, rocky outcrops eroded by the winds into disturbing apparitions. The cliff face grew slowly larger as they drew nearer.
Why the hell did I agree to come here?
You volunteered! Said you were bored! Wanted a little excitement!
This is most certainly not what I had in mind!
You never did want to go anywhere fun.
They clung to each other as the wind whipped sharply about them, pushing them this way and that like some playground bully. They screwed up their eyes against it till they could barely see, and it filled their noses and mouths with dust that irritated their throats. The ground beneath their feet rose and fell sharply for no obvious reason, hard and unyielding, so that each step sent painful vibrations shuddering through their exhausted bodies. Random tried to get some impression of his surroundings. The shapes they passed were some kind of black basaltic rock, but their strange enigmatic shapes had a subtly troubling quality. There was something almost organic about them, something strangely familiar, like the shapes we see in dreams, full of significance. Random shook his head, trying to drive out the unsettling thoughts. It was just his imagination, but the rocks looked like creatures who had just sat down to sleep and might awaken at any moment, and turn and pursue him with the slow, malevolent patience of all creatures in nightmares. He looked back at the pinnace. It was almost lost in the growing twilight, but he could see well enough to be astonished that he and Ruby had survived the crash landing at all. The ship had cracked open in several places, the thick armor plating split and buckled like paper. More than enough to kill any human passengers. Anyone merely human. At least the engines hadn't blown up yet. Random turned his head away and concentrated on the cliff face before him. It was definitely closer, which was good because he felt like shit. Every step jolted his broken ribs, and he was pretty sure he had internal injuries too. Either his healing powers were taking a long time kicking in, or his injuries were even more serious than he thought. There was always blood in his mouth now, no matter how often he spat it out. Ruby was leaning on him more and more heavily, and had stopped complaining, which was always a bad sign. They had to find shelter soon, somewhere they could rest and hopefully heal. Even the more than human had their limits. When they finally stumbled to a sudden halt at the base of the cliff, it seemed like a miracle. Random spotted a cave opening and pointed it out with a harsh croak that was all that was left of his voice.
Over there!
They hauled themselves up the jagged cliff face with a last burst of strength, buoyed up by a sense of purpose and a possible end to their struggle. The cave opening was a good 10 feet in diameter, its interior in impenetrable darkness. Random pulled a penlight from his sleeve and played the thin yellow beam around the cave's entrance. The interior stretched away before him, further than the light could penetrate. Still leaning on each other, Random and Ruby stumbled into the cave. It went some way back into the rock, and they followed the tunnel till they reached the sealed end, and then collapsed on the hard floor, their backs against the comforting support of the cave wall. It felt good to be off their feet, good to be sheltered from the storm that still howled outside, as though angry at being cheated of its victims. The air was still now, and perhaps fractionally warmer. Random and Ruby sat together, shoulder to shoulder, their breathing and their heartbeats slowly returning to normal. Their various pains seemed comfortably far away for the moment, though neither had the strength to move another inch. Random turned off his penlight. Might need the power yet, and besides, there was really nothing he needed to see right now. He felt deathly tired. Since passing through the madness maze, he'd grown accustomed to his occasional wounds healing quickly, but it had been a long time since he'd been busted up this badly. He wondered, after all, if there was a limit to how much damage his body could repair. If so, this was a hell of a time to find out. He could hear Ruby beside him, breathing jerkily through her mouth. She didn't sound good.
Ruby, you're still with me?
Unfortunately, yes. I feel like shit. How about you?
I'm getting there.
A thick wad of blood and something else came into his mouth, and he spat it out.
Damn. I have a horrible feeling there was a bit of a lung in that.
You're just trying to cheer me up. I have been on some low-rent planets in my time. But this place takes first, second, and third prize. I always knew I'd end up in hell, but I never thought I'd get there while I was still alive. Maybe I didn't. Maybe we both died in the crash.
No. If this was hell, all my friends would be here. Sit. Rest. Get your strength back. When morning comes, we've got a 2-mile hike ahead of us.
Oh, shut up. I'm not going anywhere. Any chance we could contact anyone through our comm implants?
Afraid not.
Comm traffic on Loki is very limited. The constant storms give this world a supersaturated electrical and magnetic field. Plays hell with all kinds of communications. We've no way of letting anyone know we're alive. Can't even set up a flare. We're on our own.
Somehow, I just knew you were going to say that. So how are we supposed to find our way to Vidar in weather like this?
I can feel where it is. So many people, I can feel their presence. Reach out with your mind. See if you can feel them too.
Damn. You're right. It's like having a compass in my head. I didn't know we could do this.
Unlike you, I haven't been taking my abilities for granted. I spent my spare time testing what I could do, trying to expand my limits.
I bet you were teacher's pet at school. It's a pity you didn't work out how to speed up our healing abilities. They're taking a long time to kick in.
Be patient. They've got a lot of work to do. We'll heal in time.
Hope you're right, Random. I've never felt this bad in my life. Even hurts to breathe. If I didn't know better, I'd swear I was dying.
Ruby? Ruby, can you hear me?
Don't shout. My head hurts enough without you yelling in my ear. Let me sleep. Maybe when I wake up, everything will be fixed again.
No, I don't think we can trust our bodies to do this much work on their own. We have to do it ourselves. Go inside, concentrate, and control the healing process. Otherwise, we might just drift off and never wake up.
You're a font of comfort, aren't you? All right. I hurt too much to argue. How do you want to do this?
I think we have to look inwards. Try and find your healing power, the same way you found the compass in your head. And once you found it, work it for all it's worth.
Ruby nodded and closed her eyes. Random closed his and focused his thoughts inwards, searching for something he'd know when he found it. He pushed the pains of his broken body from his thoughts, refusing to let them distract him. He shut down all his senses, sinking deeper and deeper into his own mind. He couldn't die here. He refused to die here, when there was still so much work to be done. And he was damned if he'd die such a useless, pointless, stupid death. The legend of his long life deserved a better ending. His anger burned fiercely through him, and something stirred in his back brain, the undermind, that secret part of him that he couldn't see, where his power lived. And a new fire ignited there, bursting out through all the rest of him, burning away all pains and weaknesses in its purifying flames. He was remade and reborn. His eyes flew open as he crashed back into his usual state of consciousness, already forgetting that hidden part of himself he'd so briefly touched. He raised his hands in front of him and flexed them, and they were fine. He surged to his feet, grinning like a fool at how well and fit he felt. All his injuries had healed, all his pains were gone, and he didn't even have a scar left to show for it. He realized Ruby was standing beside him, stamping her foot on the ground to test her leg, see that it wasn't broken anymore. She looked at him, and then they hugged each other fiercely, like they'd never stop.
Damn, I feel good! I feel like I can take on a whole damned army!
No pain anywhere? No weaknesses?
Hell no! You?
I feel like I was 20 again. I feel like I'd go one-on-one with a Grendel and dismantle it with my bare hands. And just a few moments ago, we were both knocking on death's door. I'm amazed we even survived the crash, let alone managed to drag ourselves here. Just the shock of so many major injuries should have killed us outright.
We only sped up what would have happened anyway. This isn't the first time something should have killed us and we survived. It's part of being who and what we are.
But we just did in a few seconds what a regeneration machine would have taken weeks to do. And I have no idea how.
Random, will you, for once in your life, look on the bright side? We are no longer dying, we are back in shape again, and the pinnace didn't explode after all. Count your damned blessings. As soon as we get back to civilization, I am going to light candles in as many different churches as I can find. Any religion, I'm not fussy. Now, let's get some sleep so we can set off for Vidar at first light.
Yes, sleep does sound good. But this is still something we need to talk about in the future, Ruby. We don't know nearly enough about our powers.
about what we might be able to do if we put our minds to it.
We're doing all right. The Madness Maze didn't exactly come with an instruction manual. So we learn by doing.
As I've pointed out before, there's still the question of how we do what we do. Where does the energy come from? The powers, our abilities? What did we just tap into to heal ourselves? To bring ourselves back from the brink of death? I'm already forgetting most of it, but what I can remember scares the hell out of me. It felt like tapping into God.
I think you're getting delusions of grandeur. Some questions just don't have answers, at least not in this world. Now shut up, lie down, and get some sleep. We've got a long walk ahead of us in the morning.
She turned away from him, lay down on the cave floor, and closed her eyes in a determined way that indicated that as far as she was concerned, the conversation was over. Random looked down at her for a while, and then lay down beside her. He knew questions didn't go away just because you didn't want to talk about them, but there was no point in pushing the matter now. Still, when this mission was over, he felt it was well past time that all the surviving Maze alumni got together and tried to work out a few answers to the nature of their unique condition. Random had no real objection to becoming more than human. He just wanted some idea of where that road might be taking them all. He closed his eyes and let sleep overtake him, and the storm roared helplessly outside the cave till morning.